Previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Yeah, it was a really tough decision. Every day my mind would change. Like, do I want to go to Missouri where I'm closer to home? Do I want to go to Syracuse where the weather is just...
Where are you from?
Memphis.
Memphis. So Memphis. Do you have an inn at Rendezvous?
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
I mean, is it the Vagos family that owns
Burgess family? Yeah.
Well, have you not gotten us barbecue
Uh-oh.
Yet?
It's
ribs?
On the way. It's on
Task
the way.
Number two.
Yeah,
way.
Yeah. Stop forever. Stop two after you
Forget
pick up the stick.
Forget the stick. Forget the stick.
The Tony Kornheiser Show is on now.
Later in the show, we will reveal, did Marcus get the hockey stick or not? This is the authenticated, certified hockey stick that Braden Holtby used to turn away that goal attempt
yes.
that changed the course of the Stanley Cup final. It may not be the actual stick, well, but I'm going with that for a while.
Prove it otherwise.
But we will. That's right. You prove it.
The save, and it drove Trotz out of town.
But that, so we will see later in the show. Marcus will make yet another appearance, even though he has failed to get us ribs from the Rendezvous, the best ribs I've ever had in my
Unbelievable.
Life. Gene McManus is here. Barry's Verluga in a rare appearance, not chasing ice somewhere, is here. Michael it's Kornheiser melted. Is here. Bill Isaacson is sitting in case we have any legal issues today. Nigel will run the board. Nigel will do the news. We are at Chatter. Big breakfast crowd.
Yeah.
Some jingle people
Ed
out there.
Ed Butt is in the crowd. It is Christian's 30th birthday today or something close to that.
Oh,
I think I have that right.
That.
Maybe his 18th birthday. It doesn't really matter. We're at the corner of Wisconsin and Jennifer Streets Northwest in Friendship Heights. This is Jingle Fest weekend. We're going to do the show not just tomorrow, but Friday as well, because it's Jingle Fest, and we're going to have a lot of people in here who listen to the show. I made a horrendous scheduling mistake about tomorrow morning, which may cost me the gym, considering all the people that are going to want pictures. And it's nobody
Such
else's fault.
Fight.
This
it's
is
no,
a first world problem.
It's nobody else's fault but mine. Let us start with something. It's sort of amorphous. I'm watching television. I'm not going to start with the Nats. I'll get to the Nats at some point. But I'm watching television, and I realize, because I watch ESPN, because they pay me, and I watch voluminous, endless coverage of the NBA draft, I realize that is tomorrow night, the NBA draft. Oof. My feelings on the NBA draft are different than most people in my business. I don't have the reverence for the NBA draft that other people have anymore. And the reason for that is, and I say that because this is a function of my age and the changing way players are selected to play professional sports, certainly in the NBA. These are teenagers. Like, we don't know anything about them. We don't know their mental makeup. We barely understand them physically because they're not all... Look, LeBron was ready. Okay, most are not. They're not ready. They're teenagers. This one kid, Michael Porter Jr., on whom it's possible the entire draft hinges, played two games. That's all he played. You have to get lucky. Kyrie Irving at Duke played parts of 7 or 10 games. Now, he turned out to be as advertised, but you don't know. Jahlil Okafor played a whole season.
Right.
Everybody thought he was... He can't get a job in the league 3 years later. They're teenagers. You don't know. When people sit down and write about who you should pick, beyond one or two, they don't know. The kid who's the most interesting kid in the draft, only because we've never seen him, Luka Doncic, you don't know. I mean, I'm watching these guys on television say, I can't believe he's not going one. He's done everything there is to do. He's the greatest player ever out of Europe. Well, okay, he's not. Because Dirk Nowitzki is the greatest player ever out of Europe, because he's actually played 20 years in the league. This kid, you don't know the quality of competition he's playing against. You don't know. You want to, like, sure thing, Markel Fultz, local kid, Dematha High School, 1 year in college at Washington, where he, I don't know, won two games. This is not baseball. This is a sport where 1 out of 5 has much greater influence on what a team is going to do. He's picked number one. He can't play. He cannot play basketball in the NBA. He is injured. You need to know now, because he's going to be available. Do you take a chance on somebody who may be fried mentally after this particular year that he had and who was injured and can't shoot? Interrupt me at any time.
Well, no,
we just don't know.
You seemed like you were going. I would say this. You're buying into a little bit of what they want you to buy into. The draft in both the NFL and the NBA now, and MLB is trying to get this way. It's programming. It is a way to extend the season. It's a way to extend the conversation. And the NFL has mastered it by making, 20 years ago, would you have said like, oh yeah, I definitely will sit and watch a bunch of linebackers from college run
rated
the
40-yard
dash? It's ridiculous.
Unbelievable.
It's crazy to me. So the NBA has to follow suit because they know that the NFL has made themselves an 11, maybe they take June off. But it's 11-month sport. It's in the conversation every day. This is how you do it, right?
I understand. I'm just saying that in terms of what you get as a player, you have no idea. This
Understood.
Is why the only thing I care about now in the NBA, the only thing I care about is where is LeBron James going to play next year? Because LeBron James, since the moment he walked into the league, has been the most interesting, and then within 3 or 4 years, the best player in the league. He's the best player in the league. Where he goes changes the fortunes of a bunch of teams. That's interesting to me. Drafting teenagers, not quite so interesting to me. You know who I would trust? I would trust the guy at Golden State. Because let me give you some of the numbers at Golden State.
Right.
Steph Curry was the 7th pick in the draft. The 7th pick, and not the first 1, 2, 3. He was number 7 in the draft. He's better than anybody else who was drafted ahead of him. Guy at Golden State, whether it was Jerry West or Bob, what's his name?
I can't remember. This
Bob
is
somebody
strength.
Or other, and if your internet worked, you could get this
yes,
for
that's
me.
That's exactly right.
Marcus, find out who the GM, Bob Myers?
Bob Myers.
Bob Myers right, is the GM. Right. So it's either Jerry West or Bob Myers. That's where he was. Klay Thompson, who is the quickest, best shooter in the history of the game, was 11. He was 11.
10 guys better than him,
For
right?
people who follow the Washington Wizards locally, The Kelly Oubre, who is a waste of time, right, his coach wanted to get rid of him in college, could not stand the thought that he would come back for his second year at Kansas. Kelly Oubre, who thinks he is Michael Jordan and who is not.
Michael Jordan, the 3rd pick in the
draft. Yeah. Understandable that year.
Yes,
I could go back in that history. Right. Kelly Oubre was 9, I think. Klay Thompson was 11. Oh, hello. Draymond Green was 35. In the second round, nobody gets anybody in the second round. So I pay attention to who they pick, not who these other mopes pick, because these other mopes actually don't know anything. And then when they draft somebody and they try to assemble a team, it isn't actually any good. I mentioned Dirk Nowitzki before. Dirk Nowitzki turned 40 yesterday. People are seeing Luka Doncic in the prism of Dirk Nowitzki. Dirk Nowitzki is a first ballot Hall of Famer. He's the only European player to ever be the MVP of the league. He's got a championship. He's thoroughly dependable. He is Kevin Durant before Kevin Durant because he's kept the ball low. If somebody said to Dirk Nowitzki, I think you could bring the ball up, then he would be Kevin Durant.
Right. That's right.
Because he has the two things that they have more than anybody else, I don't know, in the last 20 years, is they are big men who are unstoppable.
Garnett was almost
Yeah,
like
they
that.
Can get their shot off no matter what.
Right.
They can do that.
And from 25
Yeah, when you
feet.
Watch Kevin Durant, you're actually watching somebody who's he is a unicorn. Kevin Durant, he's freakish.
Yeah. That's correct.
Kevin Durant, because nobody can do that. LeBron James is powerful. These other guys are silk. So it's different. So people talk about, who's going to be great. I mean, I want Tom Brady. Tom Brady was drafted in what round? 7th?
6th.
6th round?
Yeah.
Tom Brady is going to be 41 next season. Everybody's wondering, when is he going to quit? When is he going to quit? He was just the MVP,
okay,
basically.
But you're arguing about the teenager thing. The difference with Tom Brady
no,
is
he's
there
just
was
ageless.
Yeah, well, but also
people missed.
The draft, people missed. And there were years of film on him, and he was caught up in a quarterback contract with Drew Henson at Michigan, so it was a different...
Yeah.
At least there was film on him, though.
But I mean, I'm not saying I don't like the draft. I'm just saying that
you don't like the draft.
I don't trust it.
So if you were a general manager, you would just trade your draft picks for free agents.
I'm going to tell you what I can't trade him for a free agent, but I'm going to tell you exactly what I would do. If I could get a guy going into his third year, in the NBA who'd played 164 games in the NBA, I'd trade any pick I had to get that guy. If so, I thought that, would you not?
Well, okay,
because that kid now, Genie, is 21. Right. He's got 10 more years.
And I'll tell you who else would do that. Are players in these leagues. There's if you, and I relate more to baseball because I've certainly spent more time in baseball clubhouses, but if you go into a baseball clubhouse around the trade deadline and you talk to these players about, hey, you know, I think your team is going to do this, and but they don't want to give up, say, Victor Robles and Juan Soto. Nobody in that clubhouse has any regard for Victor Robles and Juan Soto. Who? Huh?
Yeah.
Get me a major leaguer right now. Oh, my God.
Now they do.
They don't care. Well, now. Okay,
now
well,
they do.
Yeah,
but
well,
right. so, oh, but
no,
before.
But
okay.
a month ago, gotcha. No thank you. You have not shown it up here. That guy in Anaheim or Kansas City, or I know what he's a big leaguer. Mm-hmm. You are not. Yeah. Don't talk to me about being a big
this
leaguer.
This is teenagers. Markelle Fultz, the number one pick. Markelle Fultz, if he was sent back in the draft now, where would he go? Not in the top 10.
How
not
he
the
go
top
in,
20.
Could he go in the first round? And
he was the number one overall pick.
And that's
because you're drafting on once they have AAU mentality because they played in the AAU. They don't really care if they win or lose. They know they have a game tomorrow. Actually, they know they have a game at 5:00.
Of course.
They have another game with different teammates.
Yep.
They come up in a different way. Again, Michael Porter. Maybe he is Magic Johnson. He played two games in college. The rest of it is high school.
But this is why I continue to think the MVP of last offseason was Danny Ainge. I mean,
he's great.
He hoodwinked.
Yes, he did.
Oh, he took Jason Tatum at 3, and how'd that work out?
But it's Golden State. Look at those numbers. They don't have a top 5. They don't have anybody in the top 5. I'm fairly convinced you can give the Wizards, 3-6 every single year, and they're not coming up with anybody. They're not coming. Who are they coming up with? I mean, Kelly Oubre.
Go back to
you want
Brown.
Kelly Oubre? Who do you want?
Right.
You know they got.
Have won one, and they got John Wall.
That's right. Yeah. Who's won 5 championships?
Well, no. But I mean, who in that draft?
They went 3. They picked Otto Porter at 3. Yeah. They signed him to a max contract.
3 max guys.
Every single team in the league is laughing at that. They're laughing. That doesn't mean Otto Porter has no value. He doesn't have that much value. And they're saddled to him because of that contract for 5 years.
They're backed into a corner with those 3 guys.
You know, and everybody in this city said, you got us. No, you don't. No, you don't. You don't have to sign him to a max anything. No, you don't. He's not that good. John Wall has proven he's an all-star. Bradley Beal has proven. Otto Porter has not.
Correct.
So that is my whole thing about... I guess I
so everybody tune into ESPN's coverage of the draft.
No, I'm sure it'll be I'm sure it'll be good
it's
coverage.
So meaningful.
I'm sure it'll be good coverage. I was going to get to the Nats. I didn't get to the Nats. I mean,
we can do that later.
I don't want to go too local here. The thing about
they're relevant.
The point I was trying to make about Nowitzki is 20 years as a pro. Now, he's not as good now as he was, but for 15 years he was a great, great player. And when you just say of Luka Doncic, he's won everything there is to win. No, he hasn't. No, he's 19. He had a couple of nice seasons in a pro league in Europe. It's the quality of competition.
Yeah, you can't know.
You have to play here.
I mean, these people are evaluating, and some people can do this. They are evaluating skills regardless of what the competition is. You can't take results. You can't say, he scored this, and this. But if you look as a scout looks at skills, right? Not just results. I'm not saying everybody can do that.
And sometimes you miss, and you miss legitimately.
Yes,
Greg Oden was the number one overall pick.
Correct.
You didn't know he was made of glass.
Right.
He's made of glass.
Right.
Kevin Durant was second. Who would you like now? Greg Oden is, he's...
Sam Bowie, Michael Jordan.
Yeah, which made sense.
Made sense at the time.
Akeem Olajuwon was one. I don't think you can argue
he's
that.
He's a Hall of Famer.
He won 2 championships.
Yeah, yeah,
I don't
yeah.
think you can argue that. Mm-hmm. You know, Jordan turned out to be better, but I understand us. But some of these...
Because they had Drexler, right? Was that their thinking?
They had Drexler. They were ready. Yeah. They were good.
And they were good. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, Barry will talk to us about what Barry has been doing for the last 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 6 weeks.
Yeah.
Well, it's...
Yeah, no, it's a thing. Right.
This is the first... Barry's been with Ovechkin. It's the first day Barry's not drunk. Back, I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
The Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the SeatGeek ad. Buying tickets can be complicated and confusing. There's a better way to buy. That is with SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way to get tickets to every type of live event. Like U2 the other night, you could have gotten them. Whether you're searching That's for right. a last-minute deal, planning a night out with friends, you need to find the perfect gift. SeatGeek helps you find the best seats at the best prices, fully guaranteed. Nothing quite like being there in person. SeatGeek will get you closer to the action for a great value. It tells me to say I have the SeatGeek app on my phone. I don't. I don't know how to use apps. Every day when the apps say, you know, refresh all or whatever they say, I just press another button and walk away. It means nothing to me. But I can tell you that SeatGeek saves you time and money by searching multiple ticket sites to compare prices and find amazing deals. And to get you the most bang for your buck, SeatGeek grades every ticket based on value to help you immediately identify the best seats that fit your budget. Plus, every purchase is fully guaranteed, so you can shop for tickets on SeatGeek with confidence. Consequently, and I add that myself because I'm a doctor of humane letters, yes. Consequently, make SeatGeek your go-to app for finding the best deals on every type of ticket, from sports and concerts to comedy and theater. And best of all, listeners to this high-quality podcast will get $20 off their first SeatGeek purchase. You download the SeatGeek app, SeatGeek. You download the SeatGeek app. You enter the promo code Tony today. That is promo code Tony for $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is sent to us by Adam Thomas, who writes, "You have been kind enough to play a couple of tunes by my sister Laura Thomas. As a longtime little, this has been a real thrill for me, and she's also really appreciated it. I'm attaching a few more in case you'd like to use them. Full disclosure, the first one, Another Man, drops an F-bomb at the 12-second mark, although it's kind of hard to make out. Is that the song we're playing
now?" No, we were playing the other song.
Okay.
Not
sure whether that's a deal breaker. Well, it is.
A little bit.
Hence the fact that I'm sending you a second track entitled Thicker Skin.
Yes,
both are awesome in my completely unbiased opinion. Laura's music is available on iTunes, CD Baby, and all the other usual suspects. I'm copying her here so she can reply all and give permission for you to use the songs.
Which
she's a beautiful voice.
Yes, she sings like an angel.
She does. Speaking of which, Angel from Montgomery, which I got wrong last week, utterly got wrong last week, and you got right last week.
Well,
Yeah, it was a John
Prine. John Prine song, right?
It's a John Prine. So I was twice wrong on that.
Oh, we love it when that happens.
Wow.
Barry is satisfying. With us today. Barry covered the entire Stanley Cup only because the Capitals were in it, which shocking. And they won it, which was even more shocking. And then Barry trots, quit. And then he quit.
We need a new song for the new coach.
Yeah. So the first question is, there's a lot of questions just about that. One is, who saw this coming? Because I know, I said this the other day, I cannot reveal who did this just because I think it was private. But somebody a month and a half ago said to me personally in New York City,
trying to guess who that is.
Barry Trotz is out. He's quitting. He's going to be the coach of the Rangers. He's done in Washington. Now, this was long before they even got to the finals, but this person saw that coming. It's not the fact because the Rangers hired the guy from BC.
BU.
BU, okay.
Yeah, BU.
But the Islanders are open. Who saw it coming, if anybody? Should we have seen it coming? And why? And in fact, why did he quit? Because if what I have read is correct about his demands, I wouldn't have given it to him either, because in hockey, you're not worth that much.
So, I would take him in order. I would say that had they not won the cup, and maybe
fired.
If they not, well, fired is his contract's up, and there's nothing to resign from. Because one thing we did not know, and this is partly on me, is we didn't know that he had a 2-year extension that kicked in if they won the cup. He had negotiated
that's smart.
Okay, but he so. Jumping around a little bit, when that kicks in, he decides that those are no longer the terms that he wants.
He needs three more over on top.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. He needs five times $5 million.
Yeah.
Which puts him in the upper echelon of coaches in the league. Not the highest paid. Mike Babcock in Toronto is 6.25. But in his mind, I get it. Look, I'm the fifth winningest coach in the regular season all time.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, that's right. Fifth winningest coach all time.
He's ahead of Brian Trotz.
He now has a Stanley Cup. And I think what happened here... So fine. He could consider himself... This is his most marketable moment.
Sure.
He's never going to be able to get paid more. If he was going to leave anyway... And this is me trying to follow his mine, and some people have told me that they thought this as well. He was going to take a break after this year anyway. His contract was up. They had not extended him. If they hadn't won the cup, his thinking was, look, I'm 55. I've ground through the minors. I coached an expansion team for 15 years, got them to be respectable. I was finally fired there. I immediately took over a team that was in position to be a favorite to win the Stanley Cup. That summer, I had to learn my entire new system, my new job. I haven't had a day to breathe in 30 years. Say he was thinking that. I want to step away and either be retired or get recharged. That changes when you win the whole thing. Now, all of a sudden, you start thinking, well, one, it would be foolish to step away now because I'm at my peak, my apex. Two, you might think, wow, winning is fun. Like, I'm recharged. Right. And I don't feel like I'm beaten down anymore because I just stood on the mall in front of a couple hundred thousand people all wearing red,
yeah,
chanting Barry, Barry, Barry.
Yeah.
So I can see how that could have changed. I don't know that. I haven't talked to him about that, but I know there are people who feel like he pivoted a little bit. And then, as you said, if his demands or requests are 5 more years at $5 million per, I think if you're Brian McClellan, the general manager, and it's really Ted Leonsis hire and Dick Patrick, the team president, you can't in good conscience recommend that as a good deal to ownership because you also know how perilously close you were to firing this guy in the middle of the season.
When you started to write at the beginning of the playoffs that he's on trial here, that if they don't win, like even if they win a round or two, if they don't beat Pittsburgh, that he was going to be fired. Nobody in management came out and said, this is ridiculous.
No. The opposite of that.
So because that's exactly what they were thinking.
Yes.
They were waiting to get rid of this guy.
Correct.
But the other point you made yesterday that I loved was you said of the other coach in town who inhabits that building, Scott Brooks, he's earning, no wait, he's making
right.
$7 million a year.
That's
because
right.
he's not earning.
You notice that.
This is indeed, I do. I used to be a writer. Right. I know when somebody's skilled. So they're paying a lot of money. Is Barry Trotz worth that? No, of course he's not
right.
worth that.
And,
of course
right.
he's not
and
worth
it. Weren't those demands non-negotiable, actually? I mean, did he go into that with a chip on his shoulder? They'd hired his two assistants and not him. Did he just want to just go, okay?
They redskinned him.
So
that's what they Kirk Cousins'd him.
But, Jeannie, I
not
think.
Sure.
So I don't know about the chip on his shoulder. To me, part of me thinks if we go back and he didn't really pivot and he didn't really want to coach and he really wanted a break, he could go in and say, I'm going to ask for the moon here. And if they don't give it to me, fine. Then what's the worst thing? I have a year off. Or I go coach the Islanders, which I don't think he's going to do. That is, if he goes and coaches the Islanders, one of the lowest revenue teams in the sport, in a sport that doesn't generate tons of revenue, if he does that for terms that are much less than 5x5, then we know there was a real rift between
right.
the coach and management. If he's like, I'm going to go coach the Islanders on a 3-year deal times $2 million, then things were bad with the Caps. I don't think it was quite that
so
bad.
So here's the critical question to me. In light of the Capitals winning the Stanley Cup, which I've said many times, stunning to me, the support in the city. Never saw
amazing.
It coming.
Amazing.
It made me come alive.
Never saw it coming. Is this embarrassing on one end of the scale or inconsequential on the other end? Because I lean towards inconsequential.
So that's where I am. And, I was writing Monday when this happened. And Tony, what's the worst thing for a columnist, I think, and I'm so new in that job, but it's, oh my God, I can see both sides of this issue. Darn
yeah, you have to
darn
reject.
It,
yeah. You have to reject one side.
Yeah. So, but this one, it's kind of like, well, I get why Trotz would ask for that much. He's won a cup, and he's got all these accomplishments, and I get why the team would say, no, thanks.
They're not built to win again. Their best two players are old. No, this was it.
This
for
was
them.
It. No, this
they're
is
the
big deal.
Dallas Mavericks. This was it for them.
You could argue that as Ovechkin ages, and he's, I would say, I never thought he had a 49 goal season in him. Coming into this year, he's proved that wrong. I would not bet that he would have another 49-goal season.
But he might.
But you could argue that Kuznetsov is ready to take the mantle. I mean, that's a hockey discussion. You don't care about that.
I have no idea who Kuznetsov is.
Well,
yes, you do.
Wow.
I have no idea.
Okay.
See, so, I'm a conspiracy theorist, and I think Ted Leonsis is the most patient or long-suffering owner among our local ownership.
He owns half the teams, too.
Yeah, right. But look how long-suffering he is with Ernie Grunfeld.
Yes.
For example, why wasn't that long-suffering patient side shown with Trotz?
So
I think it's because they had Reardon in mind.
So I also think that the long-suffering patient side of Ted was shown at the end of last year, where there was some swell to get rid of Trotz then when they hadn't pushed past Pittsburgh. And Trotz at that point, we have to be able to remember what the lens was prior to winning the cup. And that was not only had
Ovechkin, dogs.
Yeah, I've heard that somewhere. That Ovechkin hadn't made it past the second round, but also Trotz had never made it past the second round. Ted at that time said, how can I be an owner that gets rid of a coach who's just won back-to-back president's trophies? I don't want to be that revolving door guy. And that's the patient, that's their Ernie Grunfeld mm-hmm. patience part of it. They were never fully behind this guy because they didn't think he was great. And then he won a cup and it changed things. Are you trying to ring something?
Tony's ready to play.
There you go.
Enough hockey.
Sorry. You're the one running the show.
What's the deal with Bryce Harper?
So I hope
he's batting like .210.
Yeah, yeah.
Like
I saw him. He got a hit last night. He got a flare into opposite field, into left field. It brought in two runs.
.213.
But he's batting nothing.
So, okay. So
batting nothing. What's the deal?
Here's the... I hope to explore that this week. When he slumps, he's always been kind of streaky. When he slumps, the thing that still makes him valuable and keeps him afloat is that he walks all the time.
That's
he's
right.
He's not walking right. as much. And so
he's got more strikeouts than games this year.
Which is amazing. And the strikeouts wouldn't bother me if he was getting on base. He can bat. He's a person who could bat .220, and if his on base percentage is .380, he's a value and he's still hitting the homers, right? So he is now in this weird spot when guys are slumping where he's looking at the pitch that is his one pitch to hit and like, oh, I can't pull the trigger. And then he's swinging at the junk in the dirt that he usually spits
on. Striking out on bad pitches.
Yeah, and so that is, given the way their lineup is, Murphy's still feeling his way back. Zimmerman's out.
Never coming back.
Adams is hurt now.
I watched that. He got hit. Pitcher
Murphy's
hit him.
Still
Murphy's
hurt.
Struggling. So, yeah. Bryce is in this spot where he feels like I need to be the guy to carry
it. Well, he wants $400 million.
Well, and then there's that. There's that backdrop. And that, what we don't know is, and I don't think he'll let us know.
He wants what we call Trotz money.
I don't know. I don't know that we'll ever know this year what impact that had, the looming free agency had on his performance.
I think it helps keep him here.
Well, I mean, that's
lowers,
what...
I think it lowers the threshold that you have to write the check for. I think it helps keep him here.
Yeah, my thought is, if I were the Nats, I would go... I might say...
Give you 300 right now.
No, 10 times 25. Let's do...
250
let's do
right
10,
now.
Let's, who says no? Why would Bryce say no to that? Now,
oh, well.
I also would say that they've got Juan Soto, who it appears can play.
If I had an outfield of Soto, Robles, and Harper, I'd be very happy. Yeah.
Well,
for
right,
10
years. But the question is, if you had an outfield of Soto, Robles, and Eaton,
I'd be happy.
And Soto and Robles cost you combined $1.5 million for the next 3 years.
Right.
Combined,
right?
You got a lot of room to do a lot of other stuff. Do you sign Trey Turner long term? Do you sign Rendon? Anyway, blah blah blah.
All right, one last question.
Yes,
Wilbon has LeBron James coming here.
I love that.
Yeah. Do you agree with it?
Well, I don't think he has them. I get his argument.
Yeah, no, he does.
Oh, he has? Okay.
Yeah. No, when
you
press him on it on
that.
Television, he says, I never said that. I said, no, you did. You said it.
I thought he said it would be an intriguing option, which I think it is an intriguing. If his stance is, look, man, it doesn't really matter where you play. If you want to increase your social impact, what better place than to play down the street from 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue? I get that. That would be fascinating. I don't have that.
You don't think that he's going
no,
to
L.A.?
Go.
Yeah.
Right?
I don't know.
Well, I don't either, but I mean, you're asking me to...
He could stay. I have no idea. I just think that changes everything. Wherever he lands,
of course,
everything has changed. And there's nobody else who's going to land.
No.
I mean, Paul Pierce is not an important... There's not important. Look what happened this year. He did nothing. He went to a new team.
Paul George. Paul George.
We learned...
What did I say? You said Paul Pierce.
Paul George. Playoff P. He's the most overrated.
From Kevin Durant, nobody wants to come here.
Right.
They don't want to come here.
Well, I think that is a guy who's very self-aware of the pitfalls of playing in your home.
I don't know why you wouldn't want to come here. Yesterday was only 94 degrees, and if you walked outside, you thought you were going to die.
Yeah.
Before the rain came, which cooled it off to 92.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know.
Lovely.
Let's take a break. When we come back, Nigel will do some news for us. Later in the show, again, Marcus will reveal what he has done, if he has done anything at all, to acquire the most important artifact in the city right now, the stick with which Braden Holtby stopped that shot and changed the course of the playoffs.
Are we sure that Marcus didn't stop by Modell's just to pick up a stick?
Don't know. We don't know. We haven't talked to him yet. We don't know. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the Blue Apron read. This is interesting. I haven't read this before. Blue Apron is teaming up with best-selling cookbook author Chrissy Teigen to bring you some of her favorite recipes
home.
Chrissy Teigen is the wife of John Legend.
Yeah,
that's not also
Chrissy
not how
Teigen
we know her.
Is just she's all over social media,
yes,
constantly, yes, all the time. How else do you know her?
I mean, she's a very beautiful woman.
She's beautiful. Yes. I understand that, but she's like 24 hours a day. She's like the closest thing to a Kardashian without being out of her mind that we have. Chrissy Teigen. So get ready for 6 weeks of wildly fun, flavorful cooking recipes. Cooking featuring recipes like garlic and soy glazed shrimp with charred broccoli and hot green pepper sauce and sesame chicken noodles with bok choy. Did we mention you don't have to set 1 foot in the grocery store? Blue Apron delivers the stuff right to your door. Recipes can be cooked in under 45 minutes. The menu changes every week based on what is in season, and it's designed by Blue Apron's in-house culinary team. Blue Apron offers 12 new recipes each week. Customers can pick 2, 3, or 4 recipes based on what best fits their schedule, and they'll send you only non-GMO. And can somebody tell me what GMO means? You're a cook.
Modified. Yes.
Right.
Genetically modified.
Genetically modified organisms? What's the O?
Do we know? I have
Oprah?
No idea.
Genetically modified
Octopi?
Oprah? Ingredients and meat with no added hormones.
Genetically modified organism.
It is organism? Yeah, I got that?
Yeah. Didn't believe that.
Wow, I got that. Organism.
We told you the internet was down, right?
That was really great. So, look. I've done this. I like this. You sit around, you cook,
yes,
you engage the people that you're cooking with. The meal is always tasty, and you actually feel a sense of accomplishment. And the older I get, accomplishments don't happen very often. So I'm happy to do this. Check out this week's menu. Get your first 3 meals free at blueapron.com/TonyK. That's blueapron.com/TonyK to get your first 3 meals free. Blue Apron, a better way to cook.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is homegrown. This is Kirsten Ohnstedt, who says, several months ago, I wrote an original song. I recorded the demo version on my ukulele, and because I'm smart, not dumb like everybody says, I asked my friend and fellow podcast co-host, the fabulously talented musician Jason Fuse, to help bring my vision to life. His arrangement blew me away. You can still hear my ukulele, but Jason has perfectly blended it with God only knows how many instruments he's playing. He also produced and mixed the track. Should you deem it appropriate to play on your high-quality podcast, I would be thrilled. The song is called Paralyzed. It can be found on my SoundCloud account, KJO, or by clicking the link on my Twitter profile. My ukulele cover album featuring collaborations with Jason Fuse, Brad Weiss, John Fitzpatrick, and my lovely mother can also be found on my SoundCloud account. It's wonderful.
Just
Kirsten,
beautiful.
She's
it's
great.
Wonderful. And Kirsten and Jason will be in studio 5 p.m. this Friday.
Oh, wow.
To do this show.
So, yeah. Michael, if people want to do original music and send it to us, how do they go about doing that?
As always, you can send your music into the show by emailing it to jingles@tonykornheiser.com. And this original piece just makes me smile.
It's really good.
Yeah.
Is there anything we're selling?
Bootsy won. Bootsy's still working hard as he approaches that 1-year-old birthday.
Aren't there child labor laws, Bill?
So I have. So
he's got to earn his keep.
I want to get some Johnny O stuff. And I
Michael and I both sported Johnny O.
So, Dad.
Three. Not
there we go. Yeah.
So, Dad has been asking for a catalog because, of course, he still uses a catalog. So, I found one.
Yeah.
Because once you're in someone's system, you can't get out of it. So, I bring it over, and he texts me yesterday saying, "Do you think there's somebody I can call at Johnny O?
There's no phone number.
I want to ask about some of the materials.
Representative.
I was like, just ask me. Because if you go online, it tells you the breakdown.
I want to know the difference between the Neil shorts. The Merit shorts, and there's one. I just want
to
know
so
what.
So, Dad is about
like.
To purchase a pair of chambray shorts, which.
I don't know if.
That I'm, also makes me smile.
I don't know if I'm going
Jeez.
To do this. I don't know. So, pull, I want that explained to me.
Pull the trigger?
I can't even get 5 minutes with my own kid about these things. He just laughs at everything I say. I want to know the difference in the shirts. What are the prep performance shirts? I just want to know that.
I have some shorts here for you to feel, because that's all you want. To
that's
feel
I just
want
to
the
feel
material.
Them. I just want to feel them and touch them, see if they wrinkle. I want to know how that works. I'm
this
still
this is insane.
So what? He irons his shorts and he puts in a crease where there's not supposed to be a
oh
crease.
My God.
That's how he likes them.
Who doesn't iron their own clothes? Of course I iron my own clothes. Of course I do.
I what? Iron my own clothes. Yes.
Yeah,
I iron, but to an appropriate crease level. Your shorts are not supposed. The shorts that you wear do not have a crease.
Crease is the most important thing in all things covering your legs. Crease is the most important thing, including jeans. What do we have? Do you have news?
You put a crease in your jeans?
I do
yes,
indeed.
How
he
are
does.
You going to do news with jeans. No internet?
I do.
What
are you going to do?
Now, the internet's working. It's just working very slowly. It's like it's hungover this morning. We'll start off with baseball, Mr. Tony. The Nationals facing the scorching hot Baltimore Orioles last night, coming in with a vaunted win streak of one game in a row. That win streak is now over. The Nationals beat them 9-7. As you mentioned, Bryce Harper just 1-for-4 in that game is his average.
This is not important.
Okay, what is
this important? Is not important. Eaton going 2-for-4, Turner going 4-for-4 is not important.
The but Turner thing is important.
The eighth
moving
inning
him in the
is,
order
important.
Is important.
Yeah, huh?
Moving Turner in the batting order is important. It frees him up.
Okay, so you're right about that. But not as important as what happened in the eighth inning.
That's six
right.
pitches.
Because in the eighth inning, yes. Kelvin Herrera came in and in six pitches. Now, the Orioles stink. They're the worst.
Yeah,
it's
they
so
are.
Surprising. It's actually close to heartbreaking how terrible they are because they've been so good for so long.
Yeah.
But he comes in and in six pitches, he gets this. And so Barry's here. This is an important question. Sean Doolittle again pitched the ninth. He gave up a home run. I'm not going to be overly critical about that.
He's a 1.71 ERA.
Kelvin Herrera is a guy.
Yeah, okay.
He's a guy. What happens after the All-Star break, like say it from August 15th on, how do they set their bullpen?
I think it's flexible but right now
they get rid of Ryan Matson.
Okay, so the addition of Herrera is not just about what he did in the eighth inning last night, which is important. He's now faced, I guess he faced three guys last night, so he's faced 98 guys this year. He's walked two of them. Really throws strikes. He has done all the roles in a bullpen. He's been a sixth and seventh inning guy. He was a setup guy for Wade Davis, and then he was the closer in Kansas City. He won a world championship, and he not only won a world championship as like a passenger, that Royals World Championship was built on the back of the bullpen, and he was a huge part of it. But
absolutely.
What he does for this bullpen is, and Madsen, who was on the 2015 Royals with him, I was in the clubhouse Monday night after the deal was done, he was smiling ear to ear because now he didn't have to get up last night. He can, it doesn't matter what inning he pitches, he's going to pitch less frequently because they have a stud in the role where a 37-year-old guy, now it's possible you make a 37-year-old guy more effective because he doesn't have to get up two nights out of three or three
it's a
nights
very
out of
good,
four.
Very good pickup for the Nats. Very
great,
good
huge.
For Mike Rizzo. That's very, very good.
Needs to do more now.
What?
Need a starting pitcher.
Well, you probably need a starting pitcher and you may need a catcher. I mean, keep going. And it was
so Wieters is not coming back.
No, he's coming back, but you well, think okay. Matt Wieters is going to upgrade. They have a black hole at that spot. Offensively, and in this lineup with all the holes, with Harper struggling, as we've talked about,
yeah.
other people out,
yeah.
you can't afford to have that. So I think they need more.
Okay. But that was good. That
very
was,
good.
Right, you watched that last
yeah, night. And I actually liked watching Rodriguez. He gave up a couple of home runs,
yeah.
but other than that.
Yes, yeah, but that's not the solution.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the future.
No, yes.
Right.
To hockey, Mr. Tony. You might recall about a week ago the Ottawa Senators.
It's a hockey podcast.
This story,
yes,
no, this story is fascinating.
So the Ottawa Senators were investigating an issue that prompted the wife of team captain Erik Karlsson to issue an order of protection against the fiance of Karlsson's teammate, Mike Hoffman. So apparently, what they're accusing Monica Carrick, that's the girlfriend of Mike Hoffman.
This is a guy who scores a lot of goals. This is a 30-goal scorer.
Yeah, and he's played with Karlsson for about 6 or 7 years. So they've known each other for a while. But they allege that Monica Carrick has been harassing Melinda Karlsson as a...
Cyberbullying.
Yeah, has uttered numerous statements wishing my unborn child dead, uttered that she wished I was dead, and that someone should take out my husband's legs to end his career. So there's over 1,000 statements that she had made in a negative...
Well, wait, it is alleged that she had made it. Then we're going to go back to the Brian Colangelo thing and the new way of sort of figuring out what is going on here. Both she and her fiance, who has now been traded twice.
Yeah,
on the same day,
because
they don't want her or him. They think there's poison involved here. They say they haven't done any of this.
Right.
I don't know enough about the internet to automatically say is not true.
Wait, you don't know enough about the internet?
I really skilled at the internet, are you?
I do not.
They've said 150% this wasn't us. We're willing to cooperate with anybody to get to the bottom of this because this wasn't us.
Was it Brian Colangelo's wife?
Who was it? You know, everybody's in play right now.
Yeah.
But yes, then the Panthers just said, the Senators traded him to the Sharks, and then the Sharks
traded him that day.
To the Panthers. Yeah, so he appears to be
now
rather...
Now he's moving further and further south. The next stop is Mexico City.
Yeah.
Because he's in South Florida now.
I think Barbados has a team that he's looking into. Right. So, so interesting day for Mike Hoffman to say
that story.
The least.
Someone
That's
should
crazy.
Be doing that.
Yes.
The Brian Colangelo thing disappeared way too quickly for me. And the people who covered the NBA said, it's no big deal. You know,
they
ha
did?
Ha ha, it's funny. It's really fun. Yeah. Because the Colangelos are the Colangelo. And this is the same sort of thing. How do I say this? I find Peyton Manning very, very smart, very, very capable. I think he'd make a very good commissioner. People stopped covering that whole thing about the steroids that were mailed to the house. Just stop.
Yeah, just stop.
I mean, as a colleague of someone who flew to Indianapolis and knocked on doors
but it's going away now.
Yeah, now it's gone away. Yeah, you're right. He doesn't play. Yeah.
Do we think that perhaps Melania Trump is the one tweeting?
I mean, I just think every single day you read something more fascinating in the area of cold cases. For example, in Washington, they have indicted a John Doe on DNA evidence alone. They don't know who this person is that they have indicted, but in seeking to try and beat the deadline for the statute of limitations, they have found a pattern to a series of sexual assaults and have indicted an as-yet unknown person. And so every time we see stuff like this, I sometimes look at sports and things that were huge kerfuffles in their day and are now gone, and the guy's the president.
Yeah.
You know, the president thing.
Right. That can happen.
All right.
Tough day for you at the ballot box, Mr. Tony, yesterday. Prop 77 passes. And that means that restaurant workers have a minimum wage to $15 for servers and other workers who largely rely on tips to earn a living.
So let me. I was against this.
Yes, as were a lot
I
of
didn't
people.
Campaign against it, although I took pictures yesterday when I went to vote, holding up a sign or something like that. I come to this as somebody who now owns a restaurant. If you ask me, do I believe in my heart and soul that the workers at a restaurant should be paid more? Yes, I do. I believe people that work in the back should definitely be paid more. I'm okay with that. I think that people who depend on tips, I think that this is going to hurt them. I think restaurants will jack their prices up because it's an enormous raise in how much money goes out. That's a fixed cost. Your labor is a fixed cost. And I think that when people then go to restaurants, and they're not going to stop going to restaurants and bars, when they see what they have to pay, they're going to be less inclined to tip people. And so that's my theory. Now, this can be reversed by the council and by the mayor, the majority of whom seem to understand it the way I understand it. I'm not going to the mattresses on this because there's a responsible other side.
I think it's a mat.
I'm just where I am.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I think what you need to know is it seemed to me that most of the servers were against it too.
Yes, and bartenders against it.
Exactly.
Yes.
So that if you're hurting those
cooks,
people
working hard.
Yeah.
Sure.
And that is a, you know, it's we're not talking about people who are waitressing for a summer jobs. It's people in this town have a serious profession as servers and bartenders.
And a lot.
I don't think it's going to affect how I tip a server if they're earning more. I mean, I'm all for servers. I'm a former waitress and bartender. Yeah. I loved working.
I think
for
it's going to jack up prices.
I don't think you're the demo that we're worried about. I think we're worried. There's already a lot of bias that goes into tipping practices to begin with. You're somebody that has seen the other side through your work.
Yeah. It's not going to change me.
I'm not
going to
look a waiter in the eye and not tip him.
Yeah, and say, oh, well, you're making 15 an hour.
More.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sorry for restaurateurs, and I think this is going to
hurt
small restaurants. And
like mine, yes. Like Chatter.
Like Chatter.
So please, buy a second breakfast today.
Yeah, that would be helpful.
More eggs.
Yeah.
I think everyone should treat it like they're in the mafia. I mean, you just tip everybody, right? Just
right.
Throw money at everybody. Right.
Get to the really important story?
Yes, we'll talk about a dangerous weed growing in the region called hogweed.
What is this?
Robert Emma, who's a local bloke, noticed this strange plant growing outside of his house. Not sure what it is. Had thorns and jagged leaves about 5 feet wide. He ended up calling somebody and saying, what should I do with this? They said, whatever you do, do not touch it. Do not remove it yourself. This is a very dangerous plant.
I might have this in my yard. Everybody might have this in their yard.
Sure,
I think I have this.
Giant hogweed, a toxic plant with sap that can cause burns
and blindness, must be
removed with protective gear and requires a permit to be moved across the state. And you think, well, how did it even
get here?
Well,
who brought it in?
Well, it was some bloke named Johnny brought it in from Southwest Asia. No, it's not Johnny, but it was first brought in from Southwest Asia for ornamental reasons. Although, as they said,
well, that's, you know,
no
what?
One can understand why you would actually want this in here.
Yeah.
First of all,
it's named hogweed.
Yeah.
That's unattractive. Yes.
Boy, it is giant, though.
Yeah.
Skin reactions vary, but
I think I have poison ivy in my backyard, too.
Oh, well, you got to get rid of that.
Yeah, and I don't want to touch it to get rid of it.
Symptoms include painful blisters, which become darkly pigmented and can cause scars. Your skin can remain sensitive to sunlight for many years after exposure as well. And if the sap gets in your eyes, there is a potential for blindness.
That's that famous song, Sap Gets in Your Eyes.
And this is for you. If you get exposed to it, best course of action to wash up with soap and water and stay out of the sun and try to avoid light or tanning booths for the next couple of days.
Don't go to tanning booths.
Yeah, it's going
to
be tough for you. Mr. Tony, pythons have been in the news a lot lately.
Yes.
We talked about the sad story of the woman who went out to check her corn pastures and was eaten by a 23-foot Burmese python the other day. Well, now that we take you to Jalpaiguri, a city in northeast India, and there was right near a school, some people saw an 18-foot python.
Can you even imagine that?
What is called a rock python. So what do? They called the local forest ranger, a bloke by the name of Sanjay Dutta. Now, Duda did what he does. He got the snake-catching stick grabbed it and subdued it.
Except it was 18 feet long.
Well, no, everything was fine.
Yeah.
But then Duda wrapped the snake around his neck to take a selfie.
What an idiot. Is he the late Sanjay?
No, he actually is. He's all right. Oh. As the snake coiled its body tight around his neck, he screamed to everybody, "It's okay! It's all okay!" But it was not. As he walked around from the crowd, the python continued to tighten his grip, but he said, "I was not scared for even a moment because had I panicked, it could have been fatal."
You think an 18-foot python could have been fatal?
With little help, Duda managed to free himself, and I've seen the video of this. Walks away shaking, but breathing. Yeah, Duda. And so he is fine, but he will not be taking any more selfies.
Well, how did they get it off, though?
They just sort of pried it off him.
We had a snake.
It hadn't locked in completely yet. It was still sort of coiling around.
Gotcha.
But
we had a snake in our kitchen on Sunday.
18 feet?
Not 18 feet.
Did you invite it in? How did it get in?
What was the reaction?
I suspect it came under the door, which I now have completely blocked with like 50,000
electrical
terry cloth towels. But I was cooking dinner and I looked down and there was a snake.
And what kind? What did you do? Did you stick the
screamed,
birds on it?
No, I screamed. Mm-hmm. David was downstairs watching television. He heard me screaming.
Right.
And I know this because I've had snakes in my house before. You don't take your eye off the
snake. Oh, no.
You have to know where the snake is at all times.
I feel that way about this podcast studio. We'll be back. Old Guy Radio when we return. And Marcus will describe, did he or did he not get the stick and his adventures yesterday. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Two days ago, Paul McCartney was 76 years old. Today, Brian Wilson is 76 years old. This is for me, just for me now. This is, everybody's got their favorite song. This is mine. Wow. This is Don't Worry, Baby. This is my favorite song of all time. I got a lot of songs I really, really like, but I got to pick number one, and this is it. So this is Old Guy Radio. There's no critic. I cannot be critical. It was my profound hope that when Michael was in high school and he was in that a cappella group, the Alpha Males at Murray, that they would sing this song. Because I just think it's a perfect a cappella song. Everything the Beach Boys did in their first and formative years was perfect for a cappella. I love this song. 2 days apart, Paul McCartney and Brian Wilson.
An area of critical commentary. This is widely regarded as the worst song that the Beach Boys ever did.
Yeah, that's right. Yes, no, this was Michelle.
This was actually the B-side to the first number one hit, I Get Around, in 1964.
Not even close. And I Get Around's a nice tune.
It's a great tune, but it's not nice this tune. Song. And this was Brian Wilson's attempt to recreate or capture the essence of Be My Baby by the Ronettes, which he said he listened to about 1,000 times.
And who wouldn't?
Because it's a phenomenal song.
Yes. Phil Spector, Ronnie Spector. Yeah.
Phil not so much.
Not together anymore.
Yeah, Phil not so much Phil anymore.
Phil unlikely to be seen on the corner of Wisconsin and Jennifer.
Yes.
Unlikely.
This all reinforces my theory that I just come here to feel so young. It's so great.
All right, Marcus, tell the people what we did. We sent you where and charged you with doing
it's
what?
Like reality
yesterday.
TV.
So you all sent me to Kettler Iceplex, which is about...
Which is in Kettlerville.
Kettlerville.
Arlington.
About a 30-minute Uber drive, so it and with traffic it was about 35. Got down there to get the hockey stick,
hockey stick,
the hockey stick used by Braden Holtby to make that phenomenal game two save. And
Barry was at that game. Barry correct. Saw that save. That's Barry, can you identify that stick?
Yeah, that's the one.
Okay, there we go.
That's all we needed.
Validated.
So did you have to present any credential?
Well, before all that, I got dropped off in kind of the wrong spot. I ended up by a parking lot. So what did I do? I went inside the parking lot because I had to be close. Couldn't find anyone in the parking lot or parking garage, excuse me.
Found Deep Throat. Could have found Woodward hanging out there. Yeah.
Finally, I found someone, asked him like where I should go if I'm trying to pick something up. He said, go to the 8th floor, use these elevators. So
you were in the Kettler,
have you been there?
Ice Center. No,
never. I've never been.
So this place is their training complex is on top of the parking deck. And okay. What used to be Boston Mall that they're redoing into condos. Yeah.
And so I click the elevator button, but of course there's renovation going on. So I walk up the 8 flights of steps.
Good job out of you.
And I get to the ice rink and find someone at a desk. And I said, I'm picking up a hockey stick. My name is Marcus Gronauer, picking up for the Tony Kornheiser Show. Guy looked clueless. He looked at me like I was an alien. So he said, I think you're in the wrong building. Go over to the next building. And so I did that, walked outside for about maybe like 50 yards. Went inside, found someone that could help me, and I got the stick. So
okay, go, get up, bring us the stick.
Yeah, fetch us the stick.
Let's see what the stick looks like. Because this stick is going to be prominently displayed on the wall, at Chatter, because this is the stick. Is it signed?
It is signed, yeah.
Where is it signed?
Oh, yeah. Bottom.
Signed at the bottom?
Oh, it is definitely used, yes.
Yeah. No, it's used. Look at
it's a game-worn stick. This
Wait,
is
that's
it.
The Alex Tuck shot right
that's
there.
That's it right the there. We've got it. We're very happy. You did a great job.
Sergey Kocharov.
Would you like to sign it now?
I'm not signing it. No, I'm not signing it. So that's good. So we'll put that up.
Well, this is great a game-used stick. Yeah. I mean, this is the real deal.
No, Sergey Kocharov.
He's great.
He came through. He gave us the...
we love Sergey.
The Capitals are undefeated with the all-caps flag being hung at the corner of Jennifer and Wisconsin. They're 4-0. As I predicted, they would sweep the series eventually. Now, you're also wearing a cap shirt.
That's a Holtby shirt.
Did you get that yourself? Did you buy that, or did they give it to you?
I bought that at Game 3. That was actually my first hockey game ever. So I had, and once I saw that Holtby saving from Game 2, I had to buy his jersey.
So good job. So you went with Michael to that game.
I did. So it was the best sporting event I've ever attended by far.
Oh, cool.
hockey in arena.
Great.
Is better than anything else.
Oh, it's so fantastic.
It is. It's playoff better hockey. Than anything else.
Oh, it's just the best.
It's better. So that was that's a very good story. That
good
makes
job,
me happy.
Marcus.
I am, by the way, I am now all in on Killing Eve.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'm all in. I just watched episode 4 last night. Who told me about Killing Eve first?
I don't know.
Have you ever seen Killing Eve?
I don't know what you're talking
about. BBC America?
It might have been Anne. It might have been me.
I'm all in.
Because they got me on it. And then once you start watching it, you're like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'll just say this. I'm not spoiling anything. Just wait for the end. Right, Jeannie?
Absolutely.
You don't see that coming.
I'll tell you something else to watch on Netflix, and that is Peaky Blinders.
Oh, I've got to watch that.
I want to be first on the record.
Everyone
in
says
this
that's brilliant.
To tell you,
yeah.
It's like the Mafia, but
what's
in post World War One England.
Tom Hardy's in it, isn't he?
Yes, Tom Hardy and Cillian Flynn, I think his name is. It's like Sopranos.
Okay.
Imagine Sopranos, but in post World War One Birmingham, England.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, but Tom Hardy was in Legend. Right?
Yes.
He played himself and his brother.
Yeah, the Cray brothers. That's right,
The Cray brothers. He can play those roles.
Tom Hardy's role in Peaky Blinders is not huge, but when he is on the screen, he's unbelievable.
Michael, can you come back? Because I want to talk about Jingle Fest, and I think you know about it more than Marcus does. Because this is the weekend of Jingle Fest, am I right?
It is, yes.
Correct.
And what is, how can people, this is all... It's not all the people, but it's many people who listen to the show who have bonded over the years in terms of making music. And as much as I love the original great music that we get, my heart still belongs to the jingle.
Oh, sure.
And still belongs to the jingle because that's more about this show.
The official Jingle Fest is Saturday evening at Jam and Java in Vienna, Virginia.
Okay.
You can check out the Jam and Java website and also check it out with Jerry DeGrelli, the creator of the event's social pages. There is the Jason Fuse Kirsten Ohnstadt podcast on Friday here at Chatter.
And people are
Jingle
free to come
Golf.
Here.
Yeah, please come by. Yeah. I'll be
Jingle
sitting
Golf
in with them.
Is going to be on Friday afternoon, and I believe Shad is orchestrating that, and Ed Butt will be playing as well.
Okay. And do we have Jingle Bell, Jingle Bell, Jingle Bell Rock? We don't have anything like that. Can I now get to the City Open? Because can you explain what you? This is
a very scattered show.
Public service today. It's public service.
Yeah.
Yes. You ever cover the City Open?
No, I've never have.
Have I talked? This is a great story.
It's
a great story that I'm going to tell now. This is about Rachel. You were at this.
Rachel
story.
Nichols.
Yes,
oh,
Rachel.
I was.
I love this story.
So Rachel
Nichols.
Yeah.
Rachel Nichols.
She's Rachel, Al-
Rachel Alexander,
Alexander
at the time.
She was Rachel Alexander of Potomac at the time, right?
Yes.
And she was a junior at Northwestern at the time.
Walt Whitman High School,
yes.
I believe.
And she, she was our intern at the Washington Post. And we have...
A storied history of interns.
Oh, some,
yes.
Some of the greatest...
It's amazing.
Some of the greatest
Michael
sports
Wilbon.
Writers of all time were interns
Mark
at
Maske.
The Washington Post. Picked out, plucked by George Solomon, who had a great, great... He couldn't write. He didn't know anything about writing, but he had a better eye for talent. I mean, if you talk about this guy, Larry Riley, who drafted these people when they were, 7 and 11 and 35, George Solomon had that talent.
That's right.
He had that talent. So Rachel, who was Rachel with that year? Was she just alone as an intern? I don't know.
No one's alone.
I think we only had one intern.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So Rachel comes in, and the tennis tournament, which was not at the time called the City Open, it was called, what was
Leg
it
Mason?
Called?
The Leg Mason, right?
Sovereign Bank.
I don't know that it was Leg Mason even. I think it was the Bobby Pincus's bank. What was their bank?
Was it Sovereign Bank?
I don't think it was Sovereign doesn't ring a bell to me. Okay. But
feeling young again.
In any case, Andre Agassi was playing in this particular tournament. Andre Agassi was a big star. At various times, Roger Federer played in this tournament.
Andy Roddick a lot.
Andy Roddick played in this tournament. James Blake played in this tournament.
Well, if you go back, Arthur Ashe, Jimmy Connors.
Well, they were, okay, and they were all Donald Dell. They were clients of Donald.
Right.
Well, Jimmy
right.
Connors was not.
Yes.
But they were clients. And then this was a major summer tournament.
Sure.
Now, you would say, well, it's a major tournament because it's part of the walk up to the U.S. Open, except it was on a different surface.
And it's also a long time before the U.S. Open.
It's a month before. And it was so hot, like brutally hot.
That's why we always
200
sent
degrees.
The interns.
We
it
felt
was their crucible.
We felt if the interns died, it didn't hurt us.
That's the same thing with the Tiger tournament. I've had 8 million interns by my side. died there. Exactly. And most of them have survived, I think.
Yeah, this is what
happened.
One
got hit by lightning. Yeah,
so Andre Agassi is in, and I wander in. Now, when I wrote columns, I didn't really write. I wrote the columns on my own, but I was a pre-editor guy. Okay, I always talk to people. I'm not Boswell. I'm not. And I don't mean this negative. Boz does it a different way. Boz gets his own ideas. Boz knows what he's doing. Boz proceeds. And when he's done, Boz informs the editor. He goes, day editor, Boz. And he informs the editor, whose name he doesn't even know, that he's ready to file, right? I mean, that's
correct.
I was.
And then it's usually two times too long.
Right.
But that's another
issue. I was completely different. I said, well, what should I write about today? And I would go to Sandy Bailey, and I would go to Gene McManus, and I would go to Tracy Hamilton, because I always worked better with women. I did. And I would say, you got any ideas? And I would be pre-edited. They'd say, well, why don't you do this? And then if I liked that idea, I was off and running, right? I was
absolutely
okay. I was okay.
Well, till about 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Then I was not okay.
Yeah, right.
Okay. But in this particular case, I came in, and I said, well, Agassi, so I'm going to write Agassi. Yeah, I'm going to write Agassi. I'm going to go write Agassi.
But?
And then what happens next?
Rachel.
This little girl.
Oh, who she is. Rachel, who's 5'2".
I have no idea who she is.
Overhears this. Walks up to Tony, puts her finger in his eye, and says, I'm writing about Agassi.
No.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Yes.
And I go, who the is this? Right?
That's the correct response.
And the rest of us are going, get on it, Rachel. Go for it.
And,
holy cow.
And I said, I don't know if we know each other. I write a column here. I was going to go out.
That's my picture.
I was going to write about Andre Agassi, and she said, no, you're not. She planted the flag of Rachel.
She had planted that flag 2 days before in the 98-degree heat, and she had been interviewing and working on that profile, and she certainly let you know where she stood.
Absolutely. She just, I was like swatted away.
Whatever
she
happened to her?
She stood her ground. Yeah, what happened to her?
Turned out okay for her.
What happened to her?
Yes, the tournament this year is going to be from July 28th through August 5th.
By the way, in those days, it was a men's tournament.
Yes,
now it's men and women.
Yes,
it's a bigger tournament now.
Yeah, the seventh year that the women play in it. It got some great names. Andy Murray will be back. He played there a couple of years ago.
The best name in sports is this Thai golfer whose last name is something like Affy Barnrat. Barnrat is the last two syllables.
That's right.
His name, Barnrat.
He will who's not be guy? Playing. But a lot of the top players.
Who's playing?
Kevin Anderson, who's number 8 in the world.
I have no idea who that
is. Dennis Goffin, number 9.
I've never heard of him.
John Isner.
Kevin Anderson?
Yes.
He sounds like an anchor at
no, he's a South African player. Very tall, great serve. Yeah.
Who's the other one you mentioned?
David Goffin. I think he was a
songwriter. I know
Jerry
Goffin and Carole King.
David Geffen.
Yes.
David Geffen.
John Isner. You know John Isner?
Yes.
Yeah,
he's a tall guy. Yeah, yeah. Serves 180
Number 10
miles
in the world. Number 10 in the world.
Hasn't ever won a tournament.
Alexander Zverev.
Am I right on that? He's never won a tournament.
He has never won a tournament in the world.
Right,
he's
right,
been
right.
in the finals in this one an awful lot.
Right.
Alexander Zverev is going to be there. He is a terrific player. He is somebody that's going to be number one eventually. And Carolina Wozniacki is going to be there as well. She won the Australian Open.
Yeah.
So it's
kind of
really,
a celebrity.
Yeah, Sloane Stephens, who won
She's
great.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, she won it a couple of years
ago. No Serena, though. Serena's never played in it, has she?
She has not played in it. Venus has, though, hasn't she? I'd have to check on that.
And you're in charge of the tournament?
Well, no, I'm not in charge.
I thought
Kelly O'Brien is in charge of it. No, I am part of the broadcast crew.
It's fantastic.
So if you go, and I hope everyone can go, you get these little portable radios you put on your ear, and you'll hear me. All right, I'm out at court 3 right now. There's a brilliant doubles match going on.
So you're not the pump-up guy.
No, but I'm also that. There's another
do you throw t-shirts?
Do you shoot t-shirts into the stands?
I don't do t-shirts,
That's
no.
great job.
But I do.
Do you spin outside? Welcome to the City Open?
I might do that. This year, what I'm best at doing is getting the names wrong of players.
So that's great.
Yeah, so
well, that's an art.
Yes, it really is. You have to work at that, kids.
Just watch out if Rachel decides she wants your job.
Yes,
I don't think she would at this point. She seems to be doing all right.
I'll give her a call.
I will take a break. We'll come back. We'll have some email. We'll have a jingle. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Oh, wow.
I'm very inconvenienced. It's all about my dirty PTI clothes. I love the place I went to.
I did love my Regal dry clean.
But now I blame that friggin' poetry and prose. Is it so much to ask for? Just get the makeup off my collars. Look, I don't mean to upset you. Why are you running to the back of the store? I need a new dry cleaner.
This is so good.
Why don't you give me all my stuff?
Jason Singer, Chicago, Illinois. After hearing about your makeup college struggles, i.e. the definition of a first world problem, I immediately asked my friends from D.C. to give me their Mount Rushmore of local dry cleaning. While I await their responses, I give you this empathetic ditty, which is very, very good. Let me thank today's sponsors, SeatGeek and Blue Apron. Please remember to listen and subscribe to new and archived episodes of the Tony Kornheiser Show wherever you listen to podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Play. And if you listen to the show through iTunes, please leave a review. From Frank Ginwright in Washington, D.C., on Friday afternoon, I was working out at a local gym when I noticed a bald man with glasses walking towards me. At first glance, I thought, no, it can't be. As he and another gentleman accompanying him continued walking past me and around the rest of the gym, I reached for my phone and began Googling the name of whom I suspected this man to be. After looking back and forth several times at my phone and the man in question, I figured I had enough evidence to confirm my suspicions. As he walked past me again, I stopped and I asked him, "Excuse me, sir, are you Barry Trotz?" "Yes, I am," he replied. Oh. A small part of me hoped he would say, "No, Brian." I proceeded to congratulate him and tell him how much winning the championship meant as a long-suffering millennial Caps fan and DC native, 20017. I asked if I could take a picture with him, and he was gracious enough to allow my sweaty behind near him. He was also very kind to greet and take pictures with a few other sweaty people after I was able to confirm that he was indeed Barry Trotz. As any little would after an encounter like this, I proudly hummed Trotz, Trotz, Trotz for the remainder of my workout to the confusion and annoyance of everyone around me. La Chiserie. From Mark Corriere in Ellicott City in Maryland, which is coming back. Yeah. I think they've swept the main streets now. Please have Nigel save the following soundbite as an advertisement for future One Percenters show you and Wilbon are planning. Wilbon, quote, "The only thing I'm cheering for the Germans to do is make my car."
Yes, that was,
that was good. Eric Weaver, Lancaster, Ohio, dear Bootsy's granddad, regarding Chris's kid's viral blunder, if his team is looking for new fielders, I think Bryce Harper may be available soon. If coaching is the problem, I think the Brian Trotz is available. I hear Kawhi and LeBron are looking for new homes, too. Wrong sport and Kawhi is perpetually injured, but you got to think LeBron would have caught that ball unless J.R. Smith was there to botch it. Regardless, podcast immortality is a nice haul for a mistake. I hear Chatter will be selling You Can't Drop That T-shirt soon for only 12 American dollars. Mark in Cape May, New Jersey. Wow, Wilbon on soccer. How great was that? By next week, he'll be telling us how each trip up and down the pitch is like a beautiful work of art being painted by 22 artists.
A novella.
Oh, God. Mike from Burke, Virginia. While I have been known to sneer at some of the podcast sponsors, I'm enchanted by the recent addition of Buffalo Trace. That's one of my favorite everyday bourbons, which is not to say I drink bourbon almost every day. A recommendation. Some people, not you, may have noticed a product known as honey ginger tea in your grocery store, often in the Asian food section, which is why you haven't seen it. It's like a jelly made from honey with tiny pieces of ginger therein. You're really supposed to make tea with it, but stirring a small piece into it, into a jigger of bourbon, and adding a few ice cubes after it dissolves results in a lovely ginger honey bourbon sipper. Give it a shot. From Jason in Hilton Head in South Carolina. No job, no moment, and no Beechwood aged underwear for a Syracuse intern without Memphis barbecue for the crew. Switching razors is a lot more difficult than securing a hockey stick, so hopefully he was successful and he had it framed as well. No, he's had not had it framed yet. That is our job. His task was to get it, which he did. From Steve the Sycophant. On Tuesday's show, you actually said in reference to the woman who strangled the bobcat, "She's a grandma? Oh, then she's not dateable." Are you out of your mind? Grandmothers aren't dateable. May I mention for reference Sophia Loren and your own lovely wife? You better get with it, Grandpa, or a large number of sexy older women are going to descend on Chatter, grab you by a sensitive part of your anatomy, and throw you into the Wisconsin traffic. I salute hot grandmas everywhere. If I weren't married, I'd be chasing them.
Feeling young again.
Deke Jones in Ashburn, Virginia. Sorry to be the bearer of sad tidings, but I think I just saw a guy wearing a blue and orange shirt and a coonskin hat boarding a Southwest flight to Memphis. He was carrying a hockey goalie stick. Appeared to be in quite a rush. From Jake Erdmans in Gilbert, Arizona. I am surprised and delighted with Tori. She was on the show yesterday, and she did not once show disgust for how much everyone is crying about Shinnecock Hills being too hard. In an era of entitled athletes, it's a breath of fresh air when she tells everyone to toughen up. From Tom in Delaware, can't think about a school in New York for communications besides Syracuse? How about Fordham? Michael Kay, Jack Curry, Mike Breen, Dick Brennan, Arthur Daly, Tony Reale, and recently retired Vin Scully. Also, Spiro Ditas, is that his name?
Maybe.
Yeah, he was
Frankie
there.
Frankie Frisch, too.
Yeah. This is a partial list of sports guys. Many more are left off, including actors, print, two NFL Hall of Famers, and a president. One day I'll get something red or die trying. Don't die, Tom in Delaware. You made it. If you're out of your bike time, everyone, as always, do wear white.
We're not going to be sunk this year. We're the Stanley Cup champions!
I'm glad you put that in there.
did you go? Left me alone. I'm so alone.